Good morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, this morning for once again this beautiful day. And I want to recognize all the worship team leaders in our church who week in and week out leads the worship for us. And it's a tremendous task for them to prepare themselves and to open their hearts and soul to really be in that place with you where they're able to worship you and lead us in their worship as well. And we're just grateful for all the servants who are serving in our church, Lord. Whether they're seen or unseen, I just pray that you will bless all of us in our labor together. And I especially want to recognize the graduates today. God, you have journeyed with them all these years, and you have helped them to accomplish this milestone, Lord. And I know that without you, none of those things are possible, and so we recognize that this morning. And we also want to recognize during this celebration that you will be in the midst of us, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will bless us, that you will send us, commission us to continue further in our journey to a next greater challenge that we have before us. I pray that everything that we may do today be glorifying you and be pleasing to you. I pray that you will use me as an instrument to speak your word this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. On behalf of our church, representing the brothers and sisters, I wish to congratulate you, graduates, on your tremendous accomplishment and the job. Well done. I also personally like to express my appreciation for your determination, I'm sure, to overcome many obstacles that I'm sure stood in your way. I want to affirm that you are stronger and wiser because you have overcome these challenges. Later on, we'll have time to hear some of your stories, and I'm really excited about that. While we celebrate important milestones of your lives, I find it also important for us to prepare ourselves for our next adventures as well. So I want to use the next half hour to share a message that I hope will help to prepare you for the upcoming challenges in your life. The story that I have chosen is a story of a person that we're all familiar with. Many Christians throughout the ages have argued that outside of Jesus, this man was probably one of the most influential person in Christian history. He's known by the name Apostle Paul, and today's text describes his historical journey to the city of Corinth and how he was able to establish a church there. As I was reading this story and studying it, I discovered some principles that I thought may be really helpful in your journey as well as all of ours as well. So let's begin. I'm going to have three main points to share with you through the text this morning. First point will be relatively long. Second and third point will be really, really short, but no less important than the first one. So let me give you the first point that I want to share with you this morning for all the people who are graduating. Trust God in all your struggles. Simple enough. But I think it's really important. I remember during our retreat, we had a while back, is it a week ago or a week and a half ago? Our speaker kept asking us, do you want to do the greater things than Jesus did? And I noticed that we were quite silent when he asked. Let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time when you really believed and wanted to do greater things than Jesus did? You know, at the retreat, when I was thrown that question, I couldn't really respond either. It's not because I didn't want it or didn't care. I find that I'm really very occupied with the present circumstances and responsibilities. Would that be you as well? I mean, I have had time to think of myself. I mean, I have hard time, to think of myself that big And I look at my journey with all my struggles and shortcomings. But I can honestly tell you, when I started off in my Christian journey, even before I became a full-time minister, I really kept the promise that Jesus made, that you will do greater things than I will do, really in my heart, and cherished it. Let me go back. What is the reason why you don't think about something like that? Is it the same reason that I have? Because of your past failures and struggles and so forth? You know, today's text about Paul really tells us that actually those things are a normal part of our lives, but yet we can still maintain this great ambition, desire to do something great for the Lord, for the kingdom. When you look at Paul's life, his life wasn't exactly error-free. You know, he's constantly getting into trouble and he's constantly being overrun by different emotions of his struggles. And I think that's something that we can actually learn. So let me share with you Paul's journey right prior to the time he arrives in Corinth. If you see this passage in Acts chapter 17, remember Acts chapter 18 starts off with after this. And what does it mean by after this? What happened prior to this? What happened was Paul was in Athens, remember? Areopagus, a great place where he debated with philosophers, and he quoted some of the philosophers' quotes. But he didn't really have a whole lot of success. In fact, he had very little fruit. He still won few converts, but it wasn't as if he was just experiencing tremendous revival in Athens. And so by the time he comes to Corinth, he's feeling really weak in every way. He was physically battered. He was spiritually unexcited by the Athenian experience. Emotionally, he was deprived of partnership of Timothy and Silas. He's all alone at this point. And so Paul said when he first came to Corinth, this is how he felt in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 to 3. And I think this is important. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony of God, for I decided to be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Where did this lesson come from? He was speaking in eloquence in Athens. He was quoting local philosophers' statements. But all that ended in a very little fruit. And Paul had come to recognize, you know what? In talking with people in a secular setting, it is not wise for me to speak at their level and try to say, well, I know what you're talking about. But he said, I'm just going to talk about Christ, Jesus crucified. And that is the main thing that I have. And verse 3 also tells us about how emotionally Paul felt being here in the city of Corinth. He said, I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. So here's Paul, one of the most influential person in Christian history. Clearly someone, I believe, who has done as great a thing as Jesus had done. When you look at his journey, when you look at his life, it was filled with obstacles and failures, if you will. Of course, I want to say that in Christ Jesus, there's no failures. But what appears objectively looks like many, many failures he had overcome. Not only that, his life was filled with suffering. If you look at this in 2 Corinthians, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. Now, after reading all this, do you still think, because of your past journey, where you have experienced struggles, and maybe you might consider failures, do you still think that you're unqualified to do greater things than Jesus had done? If you look at Paul's life clearly, these things didn't prevent him from accomplishing great things for the Lord. And so perhaps during this time, during this service, I would like to remind you and ask you one more question, one more time. Jesus promised, you will do greater things than I have done. Would you consider thinking about that? And maybe at the end of the day, believe that you also can do greater things than Jesus had done. Let's look at Corinth. It was in the province of Achaia. And there's a reason why Paul was, when he first came, he was just awestruck and overwhelmed when he saw this city. Because this city presented two major issues, which is very, very common in just about every society that you will encounter today, no matter where you go. I know some of you who are graduating today, not some of you, one of you at least, are going very, very far away. And you'll be in a totally different setting, right? And you don't know what to expect. Let me tell you what you can expect, because Paul had experienced this. You'll be experiencing two things, two major things, no matter where you go, because this sort of identifies today's culture as well as the culture of Paul's day. Number one is pride. The Roman province of Achaia, the Corinth, was the capital. And these people were incredibly proud people. Let me give you the reason why. When it existed before, it was a Greek city. And obviously they struggled with Roman expansion. But they were defeated and they were wiped out. But on 46 BC, Julius Caesar rebuilt it. And by the time Paul got there in 52 AD, it boasted wealth and culture beyond other cities. I will show you a slide that sort of describes the city by a historian of the time. Corinth was the biggest city Paul had yet encountered, a brash new commercial metropolis. It squeezed nearly a quarter of a million people into a comparatively small area, a large proportion being slaves engaged in the unending movement of goods. Slaves are free. Corinthians were rootless, cut off from their country background, drawn from races and districts all over the empire. A curiously close parallel to the population of a 20th century inner city. Paul has seen a Christian church grow and flourish in the moderately sized cities he had found in Macedonia. If the love of Christ Jesus could take root in Corinth, the most populated, wealthy, commercial-minded, and sex-obsessed city of Eastern Europe, it must prove powerful anywhere. And that is what we see in Corinth. Another reason why Corinthians were so proud was because Corinth was actually a capital of provincial Achaia. Therefore, it held political prestige, precedent even before Athens. And it was also a city that hosted world-famous Isthmian Games. Outside of Olympics, this is one of the largest games in Roman Empire, and it hosted it every other year. Now, think about this. What does Paul have to do with his people? What message is he going to share? And he's going to share the message of the cross. How daunting is that task for the people who are extremely proud of their heritage, their culture, their wealth? See, cross undermines all human pride because it insists that we, the sinners, have absolutely nothing which to buy or indeed contribute to our salvation. Right? Let's look at the slide. Below is a Corinth, and at the top is a place called the Temple of Aphrodite, otherwise known as Diana. And according to one historian, Strabo, he mentioned that this particular temple had so many slaves that served underneath it. He goes on to say that there were at least 1,000 female slaves that served Diana in this temple. During the evening, they would all scatter down into the city and they would practice prostitution. When you look at 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you'll see one of the major issues is sexual immorality. And there's a reason why. The contributing factor is these people who are holding their trades in the evenings, everywhere, in the city of Corinth. In fact, there's a word in the old days, the word called Corinthiasomai, which means to Corinthianize. It means to practice sexual immorality. And now to these people who are sexually immoral, Paul is supposed to speak about the Christ crucified. And what does Christ crucified summon the people to do? It calls people into repentance and holiness and warns them that sexual immorality would not inherit the kingdom of God. So obviously, these are the reasons why he is overcome with the task at hand. But to Paul, Jesus was with him. In Acts chapter 18, the part that we read, Jesus reminds them, Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people. God protects us. Even in a city like this, even with a contradicting message that we may have, not only to speak, but to demonstrate with our own lives, God will protect us through all things. Some of the examples that are given. In verse 9, when Jews made a united attack and attack on Paul and brought him to the court before Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia. Something that Gallio does, and this is amazing because the grounds that these people of Corinth is bringing Paul to Gallio for judgment is this. Obviously, what they're saying is Paul is exercising something, practicing something that is not necessarily the Judaism. Okay, because Judaism does not teach Jesus crucified, a Messiah who hung on a tree, because in Judaism that is supposed to be a curse. And so this was a huge thing, and they brought him here, and basically Judaism had received authority from the government. What Roman Empire did, wherever they went and they conquered, they allowed people to continue to believe in what they believe, and they made it an official religion. So Judaism technically would receive this endorsement. It was an official religion. What Paul was practicing, people of Judaism would say, is not that at all. So therefore, he's practicing something that is not official. So it was a huge deal. And if the proconsul had given a verdict that is favorable to the Jews, Christians would not be able to speak their message anywhere in Roman Empire. But Jesus said, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of people in this city who are my people. We don't know whether Gallio was a Christian. It doesn't make any difference, because God can use anybody to protect the Christians. Essentially, what happens in this instance is Gallio decides in favor of Paul, saying that I don't want any involvement in this. If it's related to your religion, then you guys decide. So because of this religion, this verdict, now the Christians are given a sanction to preach the message anywhere in the Roman Empire. Otherwise, it would have been tremendously detrimental to them. This is a politician, proconsul. God uses that person to help Paul. And notice, Bible says that because of this, he went on to preach for a year and a half. Right? Another thing that I want to talk about when it comes to protection is how God provides for Paul. You know, initially it was true that when he went to Jewish synagogue, which is something that he did all the time wherever he would go, and obviously he received opposition, and people harassed him, and they threatened him, but Paul still won people over during that time, especially in particular, a ruler of the synagogue by name of Crispus, he wins. And so when they force him out of synagogue, they move right next door to somebody's house. So somebody, I don't have the name here, Justice. Somebody named Justice. And they would just go. And from synagogue worship, now it's becoming a house worship. From the Jews, now it's becoming Gentile. And this place in Corinth was actually where this begins. Who would expect this? Jesus said, I will be with you and I will protect you and no one will harm you. Take this to heart. No matter where you go, no matter what opposition you may face, no matter how daunting the task, Jesus promises this to you. No matter where you go, I will be with you. And no one will harm you because I will protect you. And I have many people who are my people, even if you don't see them. Now comes the short points that I want to make. Work hard. A passage in Colossians chapter 23:23-24. This was spoken in the context of a household where Paul is speaking to the slave and their responsibility. But I want to share this to all of us. No matter whether we are student or worker, we present Jesus Christ, no matter where we go. And therefore, whatever we do it with all of our hearts, as if we were working for the Lord, not for human institution or human masters. Because we know what is not even seen, God sees. And eventually we will receive our inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This is a challenge for all of us. One commentator mentioned that initially when he started off, because he needed to take care of himself, he was involved in his trade. Every Jewish teacher, every Jewish rabbi had to have a trade because they're supposed to not provide any burdens for people that they taught. And every Jewish rabbi will teach their students the same thing, to go find a trade so that you will not burden people that you will teach. That was contrary to a lot of Roman philosophers, for example, where they have the school and all these people will bring money, right, as patrons. But Paul didn't do that. And when Paul went into the Corinth, obviously he needed to take care of himself. So he went, the trade that he had, the tent making. There's a dispute as to exactly what that was. But I will say it's a working with hands, and he worked with his hands. And one commentator mentioned that 8 hours a day, Paul would go to work. But from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., he would go to synagogue and he would minister the word. Considering this person, Paul, who's not exactly gifted with the greatest of health, this was probably a challenge in a Mediterranean coast. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I looked at the Bible, and to be honest, I couldn't find a single person who was lazy that God had called. If you're lazy, don't worry about it, because I'm lazy too, but it's in some way, I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't want to belittle you in any way. Praise God, God's grace. But work hard. Do whatever you do as if you are doing it to the Lord, because that's precisely what you're doing. Every subject that you take in school, and I hear this from a lot of people who say, you know, I don't know exactly what God wants. Look at Paul's life. Look at Paul's life. He's going from one place to another. He only has one certainty in his heart, that God had called him to minister to the Gentiles. And he'll go from city to city, knowing he doesn't really know exactly what's going to happen. All he has is an assurance from Jesus Christ. And in an objective standpoint, he goes through many failures and obstacles, but it wouldn't make any difference to Paul. He would continue to journey on in the same path. Right? God has called you into university. I don't care what university you go to. Does it matter? There are people who may not be able to go to university. God has called you to that place. It doesn't matter which workplace you're in. God has called you into that place. That is your platform to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Whatever you do in that place, you do it unto the Lord. Be diligent. Be faithful. The last thing I want to say is find a spiritual companion. One of the reasons why the task was so daunting when Paul came to Corinth for the first time was because he was alone. He was devoid of his partners, Timothy and Silas. And he saw the city, and he knew the message that he wanted to preach. And he was just overwhelmed. And therefore, he was with fear, and he came with trembling. But pretty soon, God allowed him to meet Aquila and Priscilla. And Timothy and Silas joins him soon after. Imagine, like you're all alone in this place, like a desolation, place of desolation, and you don't know anybody, and you have this great message, but that is anti-society in a way, the way it is structured, and you have this overwhelming the sensation of just being overcome by the opposition and all these other things. But imagine him pretty soon being joined with all these people who are also believers and who are also servants of God. I tell this to people that I minister to, especially the ones that I've discipled over the years. I tell them, whenever we have a last lesson, this is one thing that I tell them all the time. Surround yourself with the people of God that you can share your life with. Because it is incredibly dangerous for you to be alone, no matter what the situation is. So this is a thing that I really want to share with you. Surround yourself with people. Pray to God for the Lord to give you people that you can partnership with in your journey with God. So those are the three things that I wanted to share with you. What was the first thing? Do you remember? I'm sorry? All right, thank you. There you go, somebody's listening. What's the second point? What's the third point? Thank you so much. That makes my day. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you once again to really demonstrate through Paul that our life's experience is not measured by how calm and straight we are, and how we would not struggle, and how we will make all the right decisions and do all the right things all the time, and we will have all the fruit all the time. That is not the way, God, you see things. If Paul is your example, we see a man who has one thing in his heart, driven by the passion to serve Jesus. And he would go everywhere, venture into every place, not knowing exactly what awaits him, but trusting that you will be with him. He would go. And he goes through many, many struggles and many, many sufferings. But yet, you, through him and his work, is able to bear fruit. And Paul eventually becomes clearly one of the most influential person in Christian history. When we were at the retreat, we were asked this question, do you want to do greater things than Jesus had done? And I sincerely believe many of us were not able to answer that question because we were not ready or because we were overwhelmed with the life that we have right now. Maybe we're also fearful about the past failures and our shortcomings that is clearly with us. But we discover through Paul that those elements are not hindrance to live for you. And those things are not hindrance to attempt to do greater things than you have done, Lord Jesus. And so I want to encourage all of our church members this morning, all of our graduates, to take this message to heart. May they attempt to great things for you. May they do great things for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.